It's Saturday morning. Time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlees Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. And a good Saturday morning to you. Larry is over at the other microphone, and it is Listener Participation Radio, 800-749-5936, locally 918-336-1400, the number that gets you on the air for Green Country Gardener. Good morning, Larry.
Crab grass.
You had to go and say it, didn't you? You just had to go and say it.
People, crab grass is coming. It's time to do something about it.
Something about changing the clocks this weekend for daylight savings
time. That always makes the crab grass grow.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And and my daffodils have a difficult time with the time change.
Really?
Oh, golly. They just go, what?
I've got a neighbor across the street that my wife is every year envious of because her daffodils are already up and in bloom.
Anyway, yeah, now's the time to do this crabgrass control thing.
Okay.
And you want to be sure to follow, don't skimp on it. Follow directions exactly to the letter on the package.
Okay.
And then you should have good luck in controlling the crabgrass.
You really think you're going to get Kevin to do that?
What? Control his crabgrass?
Follow the directions.
I think so. Well, he does. He's a smart guy.
Okay.
2 point. But no. But yeah, he'll control his crabgrass too, because everybody in the neighborhood gets his crabgrass, so he better control it.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, it's time for that. It's time to mulch those beds in anticipation of rains and weeds coming up. We got weeds that are going to be coming up in the garden beds as well.
Oh, okay. They'll be popping up anytime.
So you might consider pre-emergent for those, too. We've got several choices there at the nursery for that. And also the existing weeds in the lawn. I see a lot of people with a lot of weeds in their yard, and we have a hose-in solution that works very well.
Okay. So, cool. What's it called, Roundup or what?
Well, Roundup will be one you can use this time of year. But we have a prodiamine and a 2,4-D and so on, mm-hmm. which does a pretty good job of controlling the weeds. Give it a little time. The nights are cool. It takes a while for it to react. I experimented with my weeds on this stuff.
Looking at the overnight lows expected this week, we do have a couple of down around the 30-degree mark. But in general, later this week, we'll see overnight lows 37 and even a 49-degree for low expected for Thursday night. So warmer temperatures are on the way.
Yep, and I do product testing at my house like that. And I put this this weed control in my yard, mm-hmm. and it's working.
Okay.
It's been a little slow, but it's working. It's been kind of cool. So the hen bed is starting to kind of curl in on itself. And the dandelions
melting.
Are...
No.
And that old winter grass we get, the Poa annua, is starting to die out too. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty good stuff.
Good.
So anyway, now's the time to do that. Also, fertilize those trees and shrubs. Good time for that. Use a specified tree fertilizer or shrub fertilizer for that. Be just fine. The dwarf yaupon hollies experienced a bit of dieback this winter. So they need to be cut back anyway, occasionally. So if you do have a dwarf yaupon holly that's just kind of brown and ugly, it probably just needs to be cut back. Chances are it survived okay.
How far should we judiciously cut it back?
About half, perhaps,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you want to scratch the bark going into it. Yes, the little shrubs have bark too, just like trees.
Mm-hmm.
And when you reach the point where you hit a green wood down below the bark level, mm-hmm. that's the point where it's alive, and just cut it back to that point. It'll come out okay.
Okay.
So anyway, they took a bit of a hit this last winter. The Nandinas also took some damage on the Nandinas, but they're alive. They show promise for coming back. It's a good idea to cut them back right now. I was at somebody's house this last week, mm-hmm. and then it said, your Nandinas really need to be cut back. They're just ugly.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So sure. And if you cut them back, they'll come back from the roots. It'll cure them of their lazy habits and make them come back from the roots and form another nice little bush again.
Right. Now, you used to be talking about the traditional older Nandinas as far as about every 3 to 4 year cycle, really cut them back sternly. For the newer varieties, is that still a reasonable thing, about every 3 or 4 years?
Some of them, yes. Some of them, no.
Okay.
Yeah, the compact Nandinas are very similar to the old standard Nandinas,
mm-hmm.
in that they do tend to get a little scruffy looking, but they do need to be cut back. back. And the dwarf nandinas. A lot of people's dwarf nandinas are real tall. They need to be cut back. We have a caller?
We do. And we'll say good morning, caller. You're on the air with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning. You all said to put Epsom salts around some of my plants. Can there be too much Epsom salt?
Can you have too much Epsom salt?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yes, you can. How much is too much?
Well, you know, that's a good question.
Yeah. And I was hoping I would get a good answer from Larry, but he's looking at me strangely.
Magnesium sulfate we sell at the nursery has suggested applications on it. So typically no more than, say, a half a cup around the plant or so. Not a whole lot. It doesn't take very much.
Okay. That's what I want to know. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. But it's more because it is a salt that's the problem, right?
Yeah. Salt in that it's not doesn't have sodium chloride in it.
Well,
it's magnesium sulfate.
Yeah, but I mean, if you go back to what the chemists in town would call a salt, it's simply, you know, the ionic bonding of certain, you know,
right
classes. So
you're such a chemist. Come on.
No, anyway, yeah. I don't go very far into it. I just gotta stick my toe in the water.
Right. Yeah. You want to be careful not to overapply everything, really. There is a set of instructions on the bags and materials. If you're using Epsom salts just from the pharmacy, you want to use it judiciously. Or you could come by and read the instructions on the bag, or take a picture with your camera, and then
you could do that. Yeah,
or we can advise too by looking at that also. So be very careful with that, and I'll always follow. I mention that every time. I always follow directions on these. Herbicides and crabgrass controls, always follow the directions. You don't want to overapply, especially if you have zoysia grass. I've seen some zoysia. In fact, we're doing an irrigation system now where apparently the zoysia has had pre-emergent herbicides over-applied to it. Mm-hmm. A lot of dye out on it. Do you have a caller?
We do have a caller. Good morning. You're next up on Green Country Gardener. What can we help you out with this morning?
I was gone most of the winter and came back and found out my duplex neighbor had not only gotten a dog, but he's been letting his dog use my garden as a bathroom.
Congratulations.
And I was wondering, how I've already fenced it in, but how can I sanitize it, or do I need to start all over again?
I would try integrating gypsum into the soil. Gypsum works very well to alleviate that problem.
And how, my patch is about 4x8 or 10, How much would I use?
Probably about 10 to 15 pounds of it.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Of course, the gypsum comes in 40-pound bags.
Yeah,
so.
I'm going to say, if you're going to get a bonus, maybe you can share with somebody else in the neighborhood.
Perhaps, yeah. Gypsum is very good for alleviating or breaking that down. You probably know how it works chemically.
Well, I a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway. Trees and shrubs, we talked about fertilizing, and use a fertilizer that's labeled for trees and shrubs would be a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or a 16-8-8 fertilizer, or even a lawn fertilizer that doesn't have any herbicides in it would work very well to fertilize your trees.
Okay.
So we have a product called Southern Green Maker, which does have a lot of trace elements in it.
Mm-hmm.
And your oak trees especially will benefit from that somewhat.
Okay. So that would work for your trees, and the Green Maker, as I recall, we've talked about it in the past, is just good to green up your yard as well.
As well, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your hollies also, look at the color of the leaves on your holly. They should be kind of a glossy green color. If they're lacking in the gloss and the color, and leaf size also just seems to be diminished, your pH might be a bit imbalanced.
Okay.
So I always give my hollies an iron supplement in the spring, and they do rather well.
Just go down to the drugstore and get some Geritol for it, huh?
No. I guess. No. No. Iron sulfate works pretty well on that.
Okay.
Just don't get it on your sidewalk, because it will turn orange.
It will, mm-hmm. stain the sidewalk a little bit.
So be careful with that. There is a product called Iron Sol, which doesn't stain. That would be another one you might use too. Do you have some iron to your holly plants?
Sounds good. Yeah.
Get the soil ready for planting annuals and perennials also.
Hopefully you already turned it over back last October.
It should be pretty easy to dig. We've had a little bit of rain, mm-hmm. and hopefully if you can squeeze them clouds pretty hard up there, Charlie, maybe we'll get a little rain out of it today.
About a 20% according to the forecast I'm looking at right now, but I'll do my best.
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
But anyway, the ground moisture is pretty good. We've been working on an irrigation system this week.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it got incrementally complicated by another issue that was the homeowner was having. We in the process of making preparations for the plumber to fix that.
I'm sure there is a corollary to for sprinkler systems for Murphy's Law that says you're going to run into some kind of a problem there somewhere along the line.
So anyway, but the ground moisture is really good, real deep, especially on this property we're working on, which you wouldn't suspect to be really good soil.
Hmm.
But the trees in the neighborhood are rather tall and large, big, huge, massive oak trees in this neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they're thriving, and I can see why after digging 500 linear feet of trenching.
That's not a small sprinkler system.
Yeah, indeed. And digging some deep holes, too, that the soil moisture is really good, down deep. So
okay. We're
in good shape right now. I looked at the weather charts that gave you the link on that, and mm-hmm. we're just barely a little bit above normal right now for precipitation.
Yes.
And Muskogee and Tulsa and all that, they're well above normal. We're just barely above normal here.
Frequently, the rain showers have either passed, I'll say, along the Kansas state line on the north side or mm-hmm. stayed south of Tulsa.
The Bartlesville Triangle at work.
Yeah.
Yes. So, anyway, at the nursery, what's going on? We have new tropicals in. We got all kinds of the succulent plants. They seem to be a popular plant because they're so easy to grow.
Sure they are,
And new shrubs and a few large trees, maple oaks and bald cypress and... And the hardy perennials are starting to get ripe and ready to go, too. We grow them in our greenhouse, and then we put them in what we call greenhouse 6, which is an unheated greenhouse.
Okay.
And then they go into the cold frames to acclimate themselves to mm-hmm. the weather. And then they're ready for sale after they're acclimated. So we're bringing some of those to the front now, and they're up for sale. We've got the hellebores, and, which is a the...
New England bells?
Lenten rose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we have some of the... Hookera plants, which mm-hmm. the colored leaves, very, very nice.
Those are great
plants. So we got some of those on. And the creeping phlox, we got that up front too now. So don't wait till it's in bloom to plant it. You want to get it before it blooms just so you can enjoy it.
Exactly. Just have it out there for a while and enjoy it before.
Yeah, the flowers will probably fall off on the way home if you buy it while they're in bloom. You get home, you have to wait all the way to next year. So you want to go ahead and get the creeping phlox as soon as possible right now.
Sounds great.
Just so you can have the flowers on it.
We'll take a short break and answer your phone calls on the other side and continue with Green Country Gardener. 800-749-5936, the number to call. Locally, 918-336-1400. Your phone calls in just a bit.
Talking with Brent at United Rentals. You've also got generators?
Yep, generators for bad weather.
And chainsaws and... pruner chainsaws as well for you to be able to get up high if you don't want to go up in the cherry picker, but you still have some branches you want to trim.
Yep, we've got our long pruning saws, 14 foot. We've also got chainsaws if you need to trim some trees around your place. 3801 Southeast Nowata Road, 918-333-9580.
Spring is upon us, and that means it's time to use pre-emergence for your lawn. Green Thumb Nursery has pre-emergence that will tackle those weeds and 5-star fescue blend for sowing. Check out their geraniums, over 1,000 in stock to choose from, and be sure to pick up your shamrock plants too. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333.
These days, it's easy to have information overload. Sometimes I just want to kick back, hear my favorite music and the news that affects me. That's why I stay tuned into my local radio station. When important news happens in my part of town, I hear it from them first. For the best entertainment, sports, news, weather, and traffic, anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local stations. Text RADIO to 52886. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out.
(800) 749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on to Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. And again, we invite your phone calls, listener participation radio. Larry and I may be talking about grass. You have a question about daffodils or tulips, that's okay. You get priority on the phone call.
Right. Speaking of grass, yes, it is time to cut back your monkey grass.
Okay.
Which, by the way, is not a grass. It is a lily. Remember the lily family.
Really? Why would we do that to a perfectly good lily and call it grass?
I don't know. Sometimes it's called lily turf, which is a kind of a common name for monkey grass.
Okay.
Liriope or liriope.
Yes.
Or lily turf. There's dwarf lily turf, too. So it being a member of the lily family, if you do have Bermuda in your monkey grass, you can selectively remove it with some chemistry.
Okay.
Which effectively controls grasses, per se.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. So, keep that in mind also on that. But it is time to cut that back.
Okay.
Let's see. What else? Golly, there's so much to do right now.
I know it.
It's a little too late to be pruning your fruit trees. You should have done that. We talked about that a month ago.
Okay.
And my plum trees are starting to, the blooms are starting to grow on them. So, we should have some, probably another good crop of plums this year.
That sounds great.
Yeah, so anyway, that's coming up, and the cherry trees are doing just fine. I did my pruning on those, found some conflicting wood and so on. That must have hurt in the wind with those branches rubbing against each other.
I had to do quite a bit of trimming on a rose bush out front of the house this year just because with all the conflicting wood I kept finding.
Yeah, and I have a somewhat diminutive Julia Child rose in front of my house right now. I cut him back pretty good, and cut out the older branches and all that, so it'll come back nice and fresh this year too. So people's knockout roses, don't cut it back too far, but just cut it back a little bit or somewhat. If the thing is really kind of big and obnoxious, go ahead and really whack it back real good.
Okay.
They're going to bloom pretty soon.
Yes.
And you'll cut back on the show if you cut it back too far at this point. That's why I like to cut them back in August. They do tend to come back and be pruned ready for the spring when they're when they're out, so when the big spring flush comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, if you cut them in August, they kind of branch out, and you do have a show in the fall of the knockout rose, and then again in the spring is where it should be. And it puts on a good show pretty early. So you might want to refrain from cutting it too much. Just a little bit if it's too much of a bother.
Mm-hmm.
They get rather large, actually. If left unpruned, they can get 8 feet tall.
Wow.
And some people are actually getting kind of tired of them.
Yeah.
So they're taking them out. So, and some people, they're asking, what's a good alternative for this knockout rose? Well, it can't be replaced, really.
Sure. Just take out the knockout and put in another knockout a few feet away.
Or a whiteout or a yellow knockout or a yellow or a Julie Child or something.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, probably the closest thing we can get is maybe the...
drift rose, but it's smaller.
The drift rose, yeah. But there's a crepe myrtle. It's a kind of a semi-dwarf crepe myrtle.
Oh, okay.
It's the Princess series. Princess Zio is a good one. Princess Zia, rather. It's got a good dark red color to it. And it's a very compact plant.
Hmm.
But it still has a standard crepe myrtle flowering on it.
Yeah.
The dwarf crepe myrtles typically don't have as much of a bloom on it, but these have a larger bloom on it.
Okay.
So that might be a consideration in a replacement plant, perhaps for a crepe or for a rose.
Mm-hmm.
So rosette's disease has been a big problem, and I'm hoping it'll run its course someday, and won't have to worry about it anymore. But in fact, I've seen less incidents of rosettes this year than I have in the past.
Good.
So perhaps it's just going to, like everything else, just kind of run its course.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you might explore other colors of these very easy-to-grow roses. And we do have some of those at the nursery.
Okay.
The pink knockout's a nice one.
Mm-hmm.
It's on a good show. There's another one we were carrying for a while, but it didn't really collect much interest, and it was the home run rose. And I've got one at my house, and it just blooms all summer long. Just a big round bush thing. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of nice.
Okay.
But they're a little hard to get, so they kind of fallen out of favor. The knockouts sort of overshadow them a little bit. So,
well,
anyway, another plant might even be some perennial lantana. There's a new perennial lantanas coming out that bloom a lot better, a lot longer, and it's a more compact plant. We'll be having those for sale, too.
Okay.
So check those out. A lot of sun. Being a perennial, it comes back every year.
Mm-hmm.
And being a more compact growing plant, it doesn't get as large. The lantanas can get to be a fairly large plant.
Yeah.
And they're very drought tolerant. The only insect problem you might have is some occasional white flies on them. But other than that, they're pretty easy to grow, pretty low care plants, and very drought tolerant. So most people kill them by overwatering them. Like they do a lot of things.
Yes.
So if you do have a need for something blooming, you might consider lantana perhaps as an alternative. To the roses.
Okay,
so, God, there's so many new things coming out this year.
Well, let's talk about some of the new stuff. What do you think is going to be hitting the streets here real soon?
Well, I really think the extended blooming, I can't think of the name of them right now, but we do have them coming in, the crepe myrtles that bloom for a longer blooming season.
Okay.
They come out earlier, and they bloom for quite a bit of time. Into the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be having some of those crepe myrtles coming in this year. They're new.
Okay.
And Rosa Sharon's, of course, they're always kind of an old-fashioned favorite.
Right.
And they're coming back into vogue because they're so easy. And so there's a lot of colors of those available, okay. Including one that's got five different blooms on it. So the Rosa Sharon's a good plant to have because it is a member of the hibiscus family, and it's very heat and drought tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be a good one to consider in the landscape, too.
All right.
And succulents, all kinds of different varieties of succulents, and sedums really have spread a lot on those, too. And the new petunias, there's always new petunias every year.
Yeah, well, my wife was looking through a Jackson Perkins catalog. I think there were sort of several new colors, new varieties there on that one. Yeah.
And then these giant begonias, very, very popular last year and somewhat popular the year before, but they're gaining in popularity. It's an angel wing begonia,
mm-hmm.
but it has a rather large and a lot of blooms on it.
Okay.
So, and they don't look like your regular begonias. They're a little bit different. And they're interesting, and they get pretty good size. They're very easy to care plants. So you might consider getting some angel wing begonias.
Sounds like a plan.
So
it is 8:30 on your Saturday morning. Larry Glass in to answer your garden questions this morning. We'll take a break and continue on this Saturday morning. 800-749-5936, 918-336-1400. Green Country Gardener continues in just a moment.
When it comes to banking, it can be hard to find a place where you feel like more than just a number. At American Heritage Bank, we combine over 110 years of experience with the highest quality of customer service to give you an unparalleled banking experience. Stop by one of our convenient locations or visit us at ahb-ok.com to experience the difference. American Heritage Bank, member FDIC.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod expert, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Hurry in to Peter's True Value in Dewey for $10 instant savings on 1 gallon of Easy Care Ultra Premium interior or exterior paints. Easy Care Ultra Premium interior and exterior paints are paint and primer in one and provide one coat coverage and mold and mildew resistance. Our exterior paints also feature weather wall protection for durability in harsh weather conditions. Both are excellent quality at a great value and are handcrafted in the USA. So be sure to get yours while supplies last. Peter's True Value in Dewey. Behind every project is a true value. Customer responsible for taxes and fees. Limit 5 gallons. See store for details. Offer ends March 13th. Does not include Easy Care 365 paint.
Welcome to the Orphan Diaries. Here's the founder of Food for Orphans, Gary Van Dyke.
Ken doesn't know how old he is. He guesses at around 7. His whole life has been centered on finding food. You see, he lives at a dump and he's never been anywhere else. You can find Ken walking in a decaying landfill of rotting garbage, plastic bags, and shards of broken glass. To many, Ken and children like him are invisible. But they're not, are they?
For more information, visit www.foodfororphans.org.
I'm coming
800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you onto Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Larry Glass on the garden line to answer your questions. 800-749-5936. Again, locally, 918-336-1400. Talking about some of the new things available this year at the garden or variations of things we've been using for a while.
Right, exactly. And speaking of things we've been using for a while, things you need to look out for in the garden, and the hostas should be starting to come up real soon.
Okay.
So be careful while you walk in the garden. Tread lightly.
Yeah. Don't step on the hostas.
And the same thing with the peonies. They're starting to spring up, too. Oh. Typically, when peonies sprout, they're a deep red color when they first come up out of the ground. Then they, of course, turn green. So look out for those. Also, be careful when you're raking out the beds, too. That not to scratch up your peonies, because it'll set them back a little bit if they have to send out another stalk.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful around those, too. You can divide your hostas at this point, too. This is the time of year I like to divide my hostas.
Now that you can find them easier. Yeah.
Well, exactly. When the eyes are just starting to grow and the heal-up time is a lot shorter this time of year for them being divided, so it can be done at this point. Got a caller?
We do have a caller coming in. We'll say good morning. You are next up on Green Country Gardener. You're on the air. What can we do for you this morning?
Thanks for taking my call. I have a question on, I don't know what you call them, spreaders or vines. They're about the size of a 50-cent piece. They're kind of like a heart shape pointed on the end or a dark green, and they spread real easy. You can actually rip them out of the ground, just plant them, and they'll go again.
Yeah.
But I've got one that's consumed a tree. Is this good or bad?
It's probably not good if it's climbing up the tree.
Completely covered the trunk and all the way up to the top.
Yeah, that sounds like...
I don't know if it's going to...
Does it have a very glossy green leaf? Somewhat pentagonal in shape.
Octagonal?
Pentagonal.
Well, it's...
Okay, that sounds like English ivy.
And, yeah, it's real calm in it.
English ivy is one that will climb a tree. It has it attaches itself to structures of trees by use of aerial roots. And these aerial roots will grow in through the bark into the phloem layer of the tree and cause problems with the tree. So it'd be a good idea to get that off of that if you want to get it off that tree. Because it will weaken the tree over time.
I don't know if it eventually kill it or if it's just... Okay.
Yeah. Eventually, it will. It's kind of the trees are very resilient. They can take a lot of abuse, but it'll get to the point where it'll just overtake it.
Well, it's overtaken. It's completely covered the trunk all the way to the top.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool looking, really. But
sometimes it'll kill the tree, and that's the only green you have on the tree is the English ivy.
Take some pictures of it, and then get rid of some of it.
Okay, I'll get to cutting the roots in.
All righty. All right, thanks
for
calling.
Appreciate your advice.
Thank you very much. The picture, at least, that he painted in my mind, just sounds like really a neat old building look as far as, you know, it's growing on the tree, but still, I like those ivy-colored covered walls and that sort of thing.
Probably the only thing holding up those old buildings out there is the English ivy. I know I've been around some retaining walls that the only thing holding them up is English ivy.
Wow.
When they make it out of these native limestone rocks, they're just kind of wobbly already, and the ivy just helps hold it together. So just leave it.
Oh, yeah. In that case, leave it.
Yeah, but English ivy on a tree is never a good idea.
Okay.
So you can cut it off, and you pull off as much as you can, or it'll just die off eventually and just kind of fall down on itself. Mm-hmm. Especially on the house, too. It's so hard to pull the paint off your house, too, when you pull it off the house. So try to keep it off that, unless you want it on there.
No. Okay.
I've had some people have it go in through the wall. We had it in our other house in the backyard with English ivy back there, and it crawled off the wall, got into the laundry room.
Wow.
And came in through the window crack. It just slithered in there, and it actually popped the window open a little bit. And it was started growing out over the washing machine. There's this English ivy out there growing them. That's pretty cool.
I was going to say it's
a house plant that you don't have to water. It came in through the window.
Okay. Why do I get this picture of the big plant in the little house of horrors or little shop of horrors? I don't know. I'm just
saying. I was at a house a couple weeks ago. I'm doing a landscape plant for her, and this plant had come in real close to the house, and it actually had grown up behind the siding.
Mm-hmm.
And went up the entire height of the house and came out at the soffit vent.
Okay.
And in the meantime, in the time it's done this, it just crawled in between the siding and the substrate of the house.
Mm-hmm.
It had expanded, and the siding was bulged out and all that, and what a mess.
Well, yeah.
So she's got to have that removed. So it can happen. So,
But plants generally, I mean, with phototropism, there's got to be some light in between the layer there for it to find a reason to grow.
I think it was probably a matter of culture that it was being cut everywhere but that which was going up the house. So, and the root system on it was massive enough to support it, so it just grew up into the house. We have a caller?
We do have a caller. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. How can we help you out this morning?
I just wanted to ask him a question. I had brought a snapdragon at your business last year.
Uh-huh.
Totally loved the thing. Tried to keep it alive during the winter, but it didn't make it.
Right.
It was called a short stack. It's a little mini one. Will you have that kind again this year?
No, we don't have them yet. But that doesn't mean we won't get them shortly. So.
But you think you'll be getting in the snapdragon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, snapdragons are...
They're pretty popular.
They're a popular plant.
Mom used to have them every year.
We would be amiss if we didn't have them.
Good. Well, that was my favorite. It was just a little mini one, and yellow, and just as pretty as could be. So I will be out looking for it. Thank
you. That's a good thing. The miniature, the small snapdragons can tolerate the heat better than the big rocket ones.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I didn't even think about that, but it did beautifully all summer. I couldn't overwinter it, and I'll just keep trying because it is so pretty. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. Okay. Some of the flowers we don't really talk about too much, like snapdragons.
Yeah, snapdragons. They're called snapdragons because you squeeze them a little bit and they open up and snapdragons.
Yeah.
Like when I lived up in Chicago as a kid, Mom grew snapdragons.
Yep.
The big tetra giant ones.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
And, they were beautiful all summer long. What, 80 degrees was a hot day.
Sure, exactly.
So, the snapdragons are beautiful up there.
Yeah.
But here we have to have the little ones because of the heat. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Anyway, we were talking about, vines growing in houses and up trees and all that. Yeah. There is another vine that grows up a tree called the Virginia creeper.
Yes.
It has five leaves on it, and it attaches itself by means of a series of suction cups at the node. Now, this doesn't have aerial roots like the... English ivy does, or even the poison ivy has. So it'll be okay up on the tree. It won't hurt having the Virginia creeper on the tree.
Because it's just the suction cups sort of
thing. Right, yeah. Huh? So the Virginia creeper is okay to have on the trees, but the English ivy is not okay. And also the poison ivy has a very similar rooting structure on it, as does the English ivy.
Mm-hmm.
And it can cause problems with the tree, too. Cause problems with people also.
I was going to say.
One pest that the poison ivy gets are mites. Little tiny spider mites, they're susceptible to them pretty bad. And these little spider mites exude a honeydew.
Oh.
And it rains down from the sky. And people who are susceptible, I had an employee, we had some poison ivy way up in the trees, in the lot beside us over there. And it cantilevered out over our stuff. And she'd swole up. Oh, golly.
Wasn't anywhere physically close to it, but the honeydew got her.
Huh? Yeah. She wasn't anywhere near it. Didn't touch it, but the raining down of the poison got her. So be very careful around poison ivy.
Yes.
But it does cling and grow up trees.
Okay.
So anyway, that's that. We were talking about the hostas and things coming up already. The daylilies are coming up, and the lichoris is up, too.
Okay.
Lichoris, what we otherwise call naked ladies.
Right.
Or surprise lilies, they're coming up. So they're very strap-like leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't bloom, that's because they don't bloom right now. They'll bloom later on in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And some people coming into the house see these leaves coming up. Wow, this has got to be something great. And I said, well, this is a lichoris plant. And I said, it won't bloom now. But in the summertime, it'll put on some bloom.
Mm-hmm.
So they're up now. They're very wide, almost like amaryllis-like leaves on them. Mm-hmm. They are related to the amaryllis. And they're up right now, so...
Okay.
Be careful not to saw them down with a weed eater.
No, don't run the mower over them. Don't weed eat them. Let them be.
Right. So that's up right now. Perennials. We talked about that. Yeah, and the peonies are coming up. Be careful when raking out the beds. I got to rake out my beds this week, if I can. We've had colds at the house, so I'll probably just kind of hibernate today.
I'm not sure. I just because I see you. I can tell you, you've got a little bit of a stuffiness there, but I can hear it in your voice. Maybe the listeners do too. I don't know.
It's a mess, yes. Let's talk a little bit about daffodils.
Daffodils
are in bloom right now.
Yep. We'll talk about the daffodils in just 2 minutes. Okay. We'll go ahead and take this opportunity to change topics and to take a break. Invite your phone calls as well. And, of course, a reminder, it doesn't affect your plants, but do move those clocks ahead 1 hour. 800-749-5936. More in just a moment.
Spring is upon us, and that means it's time to use pre-emergence for your lawn. Green Thumb Nursery has pre-emergence that will tackle those weeds and 5-star fescue blend for sowing. Check out their geraniums, over 1,000 in stock to choose from, and be sure to pick up your shamrock plants too. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. And every single day, it's information overload. It's coming at me from all directions. And you know what? Bottom line, I just need the news that matters. So where do I turn? Local radio and TV. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town. They give me the real story with information I know I can rely on. So where else can I find out what's happening in my community? Weather and traffic, things that affect my family and my business. I want to stay informed by sources I trust, my local radio and TV stations, for the best entertainment, sports, news, traffic, and weather with no agenda and more reliable than other platforms. So if you ask me for the information I want anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local station. Text radio to 52886 today. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
Hey, I'm Reba McEntire. Growing up in Oklahoma, I had big dreams of becoming a successful country music singer. But I also knew the odds were against me and that I needed an education to fall back on. Studying never got in the way of my dreams. In fact, school gave me lots of opportunities I wouldn't have had otherwise with my career. Please stay in school and try your best. You never know where a good education might take you. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
The telephone number that gets you onto this program on the air on Green Country Gardener. Have a caller that hopefully hung on during the break. Good morning. You are on the air with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I want to divide my hostas. But we're going to be gone this coming week.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be not this week, but the week after. And is that going to be too late, do you think?
Oh, no, not at all. They sort of stick their toes in the water before they really come up for quite some time. So it's if you know what I mean. they're kind of slow to emerge, so they'll be all right.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be too late. Unless it gets really warm for the next 2 weeks, they'll probably grow and develop a little faster. But if the typical weather patterns fall as they do, they shouldn't be up too far beyond the time.
Okay. So they should be poking their heads up when you divide them?
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's barely starting to come up, yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, you said you would cut them like in half or uh-huh. in quarters if you got a lot.
Yeah, I'll just pull the whole clump out of the ground, and that way I can get a good idea of how big it is and whether or not it can be cut in quarters or halves or not.
Oh, okay, so you do take it out of the ground. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what my second question was. Okay, all right, thank you a lot.
All right, thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for the call, and it's not an involved process. I think you said you just kind of use a sharp edge to divide the clump in half.
Or a good sharp shovel to just go right through it and whack it in half.
So okay.
They're very resilient plants and very easy to grow. But they do have specific requirements as far as how they're planted and what kind of soil. They don't like our native soil very well. So if you do anticipate moving into a different part of the yard, make sure the soil in that part of the yard is highly organic and well-drained and easy to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So then they'll do just fine.
Okay.
But to put them in our hard pan clay, no, they're definitely not native to the area, no.
Forget it. I am not doing that.
Daffodils are famous for the bright yellows of cultivars like jonquils and the yellow trumpet daffodils.
Mm-hmm.
They come in thousands of colors. One of my favorites is Professor Einstein.
Mm. Really?
Uh-huh. It's a pinkish color in the middle. It's pretty nice.
Okay.
And whites and paper whites and peach colors and so on and so on. And the narcissus and daffodils are sort of about the same. Narcissus is the botanical name of the daffodil.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no differential between the two. And I've got some of the little miniature ones at my house. The teet-a-teet ones are about this tall.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very cute little things. But they're in bloom right now. So anyway, they're people have had a lot, the breeders have had a lot of fun with these. Anywhere from a 5-inch size bloom on a 2-foot stalk to a little tiny 2-inch stalk and mm-hmm. little half-inch flowers. So there are all kinds of different variations of this particular plant. They've had some pretty good fun with it. And the different colors are fun, too. And they come back. And the reason why the deer don't like your daffodils is because they're toxic.
Oh, that would be a good reason.
They don't eat them. Yeah, squirrels don't eat them. Deer don't eat them. So they're good to have around the house. So, so anyway, they're not toxic to the point where they're deadly. They're just
mm-hmm. just make them a little sick and safe.
Kind of icky.
Yeah.
So the animals have learned not to eat the daffodils. So anyway, it's time also after they bloom to give them some fertilizer. I wouldn't do it right now. It might cause some discoloration of the blooms.
Okay.
So you want to perhaps fertilize them in about 2 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
And use a good bulb fertilizer.
Okay.
It should be application rates on the thing itself. If not, just give it about a half a cup or so around each plant and work it into the soil a little bit. And that'll encourage it to have better blooms next year.
Did I see a formulation of Happy Frog that's made specifically for bulbs? I think I may have.
Probably so, yeah. We have several liquid fertilizer applications.
Okay.
That are suitable for that, yes. Huh? So, or just, they're not really picky, just any kind of fertilizer. Or if you choose not to fertilize them, they'll still bloom. There's some growing out in the middle of nowhere
mm-hmm.
that bloom very well every year. So these are pretty good plants about, they're good survivors. They're pretty
yes.
good plants about being survivors. So, and it's too late. You can't plant the bulbs. You have to plant them in the fall.
Right.
So they're just not available right now. So there are some Johnny-come-lately plants here and there. I've seen them. I call them Johnny Come Lately because they're up and blooming in the pots, and the people who forgot to plant the bulbs, let's get some daffodils.
Yeah.
There they are ready to grow. So we don't have any at the nursery. We sold all of our bulbs,
mm-hmm.
but the other places I've seen around town have them. So look around, you'll find them.
Okay. We'll take our final two-minute break and continue with more phone calls and Green Country Gardener on the other side, 800-749-5936. More in just a bit.
If you're replacing your old windows, make sure you replace your old window problems. Go with the most trusted name in windows, Anderson Windows and Doors. Time proven, durable, low maintenance, and energy efficient. And with their beautiful wood interiors, you're not just replacing, you're upgrading. Anderson 400 Series Replacement Products, because there's no replacement for confidence. See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Check out Four Seasons Ag and Lawn for great deals on Coyote tractors with warranties up to 6 years. Four Seasons Ag and Lawn is Oklahoma's number one Coyote dealership. Get a tractor with a cab for comfort from a 35 horsepower, and it goes on up from there, so the little guy can be comfortable in the summer and winter at Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, awarded the 5-Paw Dealer Excellence Award. Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, 3 miles southwest of Ulaga on 169.
Hi, I'm John Selmeyer. Invite you to come by and see how we take care of our people here at Four Seasons Ag and Lawn in Ulaga, Oklahoma.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter Brooklyn was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I gotta work on the next. I see the future is really bright for me. I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mm-hmm.
800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener. Locally, 918-336-1400. About 7 minutes yet to go with Larry Glass.
Plenty One more comment about the daffodils. Don't cut them back.
Yeah.
After they bloom, they need the leaves on there to replenish the bulb for it to bloom next year.
Okay.
So give it a fighting chance. When the leaves wither away in the spring, later on, it'll be time to divide them as well.
Okay.
Or you can divide them basically all summer long. They're going dormant again, so you can split them up.
It's easiest to find them right about that time.
Exactly. Yeah. You know where they are. So don't cut them back at all until the leaves wither out.
Okay.
So dividing them also will encourage them to bloom more, because they kind of grow and they spread around and make these clumps of bulbs. Mm-hmm. I've dug up these big, giant clumps of bulbs in people's yards before. And then taking them and scatter them around their yards, and they got daffodils everywhere in the spring. So it's really nice.
Yep.
The harbinger of spring.
It is.
So right now, in review, what we need to do right now is kind of lawn-based.
Okay.
We need to, for the most part, we need to do something about the weeds in the yard and the hose and sprayer application of the herbicides. Mm-hmm. Works rather well. And also the crabgrass control. It's time to put that down on your yard, too.
Okay.
So this weekend will be a good time. Maybe a little bit of rain this afternoon.
Maybe.
If you try real hard. We'll have a little bit of rain. So a little bit of work to do in the yard. Get that mower tuned up and ready. I haven't started mine in a while, so I'll pull the plug on it, put a little oil in it, and spin it a few times and crank it up. It should start right up.
That's the way to do it.
Uh-huh. And also take that blade off and sharpen it. And be sure, if you do want to sharpen your own blade, get a wheel balancer or a sharper or blade balancer, so you don't have this vibration as well. bend your crankshaft real quick on that.
You will. Checking the weather radar at this time, I don't see anything other than just a couple of real minuscule areas of rain within Oklahoma or Kansas. So whatever rain we get is going to be pretty
okay.
late.
So yeah. So you want to turn on the sprinkler system.
Go wash your car.
Yeah. Go wash your car, that'll make it rain for sure, yeah. Yeah, so put down your crabgrass control and sprinkle it in, just so it doesn't blow away in the wind.
Yeah.
This 50-mile-an-hour winds we had last week blew a lot of things away.
Yeah, it did.
Man, it was crazy. But our greenhouse stayed inflated just fine. So
excellent.
Yeah, they'll handle, golly, 130-mile-an-hour winds is what they're designed to take care of, and I believe it, too. Its structure just does not move in the wind. It's amazing.
That's great.
And it's held together by air pressure. Very simple structure, too. Anyway, so it's time to think about the crabgrass control, weed control. Time to think about the landscape plan.
Mm-hmm.
We do that for you. I've come to your house. I got several of them on the drawing board right now. And draw your house, give you some ideas for what your house can look like in a landscape plan. And develop a budget so you can decide how much you might want to do at once, or subdivide it into little pieces here and there. So it's basically a landscape plan as a roadmap,
right?
Which you follow over time to do the installation. And some people have had good luck with that, following that roadmap per se, not all at once, but over time.
Mm-hmm. We have a caller, and we'll say good morning. You are next up on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you this morning?
Well, I think I know what I'm doing, but I never do.
Yeah.
I have a flower bed that has two bushes in it, but it isn't a flower bed. It's just two bushes.
Right.
And it has Bermuda all around it.
How
can I kill that Bermuda without killing the bushes?
When the Bermuda comes up and starts growing, go ahead and treat it like you normally do. Just make it feel like it's real happy and healthy and having a good time. And put down grass killer. We have a spray. It's a concentrate spray. And I think we have
it. And it won't hurt the bushes?
It won't hurt the shrubs, no.
And what time of the year did you tell me to get?
What time did you say?
What time of year?
Yes.
When the Bermuda grass is actively growing is when it works. It won't work now. The grass killer will not work at this point in time.
So wait till May, June
or so, yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. I can put it down then.
Right.
What you do, just spray it on there,
you spray it on the leaves of the grass itself. You don't.
Uh-huh.
It does not work once it hits the ground. It has to be absorbed through the grass blades.
Okay.
So it's kind of expensive, but it goes a long way. And you don't have to soak the ground. In fact, it's best if you didn't.
And it isn't going to hurt the bushes?
It won't hurt the bushes. I experimented with this. I sprayed my elephant ears with it. I sprayed everything I did with it, and it didn't hurt anything.
Other than what it's supposed to.
It kills grasses.
Okay, so when I come out there, what do I ask for?
Grass killer.
Grass killer.
Yep.
Not weed killer.
Yeah, you want to be specific with it and say, I need something to kill grass, grassy weeds.
Can you put that in your flower bed?
In your flowers? Yes.
No, it kills the flowers.
Yeah, it won't hurt your flowers either.
It will?
It will not. No, a lot of people
use. It won't hurt the flowers either.
No, a lot of people use it in their monkey grass too, because monkey grass is not a grass; it's a lily. See, this stuff works by blocking the production of a certain protein present in grass plants, and it slowly starves to death. Is basically how it works, and that element is not present in broadleaf weeds or broadleaf plants. It's only present in grasses. That's how it, physiologically, that's how it works.
Okay. So I own this other house, and it has monkey grass, and it gets Bermuda up in it, so I can put it on them too?
Yeah. Right. It won't hurt your monkey grass. Now, if it's really hot outside, the carriers in the chemical will cause some damage, but it won't be any long-term effect. So you don't want to use it when it's during the heat of the day after mm-hmm. it gets warm. But okay. Because the chemical carriers they use for this element can cause some just some peripheral damage,
okay.
Not much.
When does that Bermuda come alive? June or July?
Bermuda grass starts in May, early May.
May.
Uh huh.
Okay, and then I can get all the Bermuda. Well, after you spray it on there, then. It starts killing that.
Yeah, it takes about 10 days.
Start digging in there to make that a flower bed.
It takes about 10 days for it to work.
Okay.
So spray it.
Well, I'll be out there. I come out there all the time anyway. But
oh, yeah. I've seen you out
there. I've been wanting to see about making this
okay.
A flower
okay.
bed.
While you're at it, sharpen your shovel.
Okay, that's
great. We're out of time.
That's Green Country Gardener on a Saturday morning. Don't wait for a rumble. Get earthquake insurance at Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227-CQ Bartlesville.
Made entry into the room and unfortunately made the discovery of three deceased females and one deceased male suspect.
Military records show.